views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670. The
survey that the Bears sent out to season ticket holders about what they want in a new stadium. And I'll read to you what I have. The Bears are a proud part of the community for over a century and have shared plans to build a new enclosed stadium located in Chicagoland.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Restaurant in the stadium. I mean, what are our restaurant options, guys?
We got to have restaurants in the stadium.
That's our project. As a show and as a listenership, we got to figure out what restaurants we want in the stadium.
45 minutes to open, chefs.
Yes, chef. Yes, chef.
You ever have a great Valpolicella Ripasso?
No.
Where
I don't even know what that is.
Ibra, make sandwiches. Don't stop.
If it makes you guys feel any better or worse, I think I'm going to try my hand at an Instant Pot queso mac and cheese recipe I found. We'll see how it goes. The recipe I got was from Texas Monthly.
We are not good, chef.
No?
Yeah. Chef.
Game day fan zone adjacent to the stadium. Is there a bounce house?
Say it back, please, chefs.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I have been asked a time or two what I was making for the Super Bowl. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast to you live through the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai Diaz. Nice job on the open, Robbie Triano, Ray Diaz, our producer as well. We also have Brandon Fryer helping out and wearing a very official-looking Chicago Bears polo. Brandon always looks sharp.
That's like dress code appropriate, too.
It is. And he looks like he works for the Bears right now. Well, it's like something you could walk into Hallis Hall and be like, yes, I work here.
He's hoping the Bears work for him, which is a question, according to many, many pundits around the country these days, as I'm still waiting for that top 100, the NFL 100, and also all these lists about what the Bears are not doing.
Yes, we will talk about the list as well. I know that was mentioned in our show tease and our promo. That will also continue tomorrow. We also have Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Hello to our Twitch mob. Hello to the people who help us out. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, our new video producer. You can also text us or call us 312-644-6767. And in case you forgot, this is your friendly reminder, tomorrow we will unleash the meatball machine. I've seen a lot of proposals for trading for Paul Skeens. And you know what? Sometimes you need to just get your crazy trade proposals out of the way so your brain can think again. Go ahead and vent to the meatball machine. We'll put them all together and have some fun because this is sports. And we should be able to do that from time to time.
You're right.
What has not been fun, unfortunately, has been the Cubs' performance against the Minnesota Twins, which unfortunately continued yesterday, a 4-2 loss. Well, they tried for Cade Horton. They tried to give him some run support, but unfortunately it just didn't work out in a way that was productive yet again. And the Cubs' lack of power, also an issue in this game. Singles aplenty, 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position again. This is not how you want to go into the All-Star break, and it's not how you want to address a team that at 2 games below .500 just picked up 2 because they played you.
Listen, the Twins are having a moment right now. And their moment just happens to coincide with a negative moment for the Cubs. But I am not at all concerned about these two games after witnessing what I witnessed last week. I'm taking this for what it is. The Cubs have lost the series against the Twins. They may very well get swept by Minnesota today.
That's a real possibility. That is a possibility. You can hear it on the score.
And not only may they get swept, but like obviously 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position yesterday. Today, looking back at last night, they were 1-for-4. And the one wasn't exactly a line drive that, you know, split the gap or anything. It's an infield hit, which was almost a fielder's choice off the bat of Dansby Swanson. But congratulations, Dansby, on getting a hit with a runner in scoring position, however you got it done. My whole thing is this. How many times have the Cubs been swept in a 3-game series this year?
Goose egg.
Exactly.
Zero.
You look at everybody else, all the other big teams, the Dodgers, the Tigers, the teams with better records than them in the major leagues, they've endured sweeps. And I think we have to just kind of take a look at the fact that you're going to have bad series. This is a bad series. Even if they win today, you're going to say, well, they lost 2-3 to an underwhelming Minnesota Twins team.
Right. But after a 500 month of June, you just don't want to see it add up. So how are they putting this together in a way that, A, gets you somewhat better before the break facing a Yankees team where, as we mentioned earlier coming up, they DFA or release DJ LeMahieu, and that leads me to believe that the Yankees are probably making some sort of move in the infield at the trade deadline or close to it, so we'll see that happen potentially. Doesn't really affect the Cubs as much, but either way, you just don't want to put together back-to-back months where you're saying to yourselves as observers, this is not the team that we thought we were seeing. Also, I say all of this knowing what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing right behind you. Continue to close the gap, taking the series against the Dodgers in commanding fashion. And I did think about that potential trade that Greg Amsinger from MLB Network mentioned while I was watching highlights of that game. The possibility of Adolis Garcia coming to Milwaukee's, it's horrifying if you're an opposing pitcher on the mound.
Are you more worried about Adolis Garcia joining the Brewers or the Yankees trading for a third baseman, therefore taking away a position that's already not a lot of stock, taking another item off the shelf, if you will?
No, because I'm used to the Yankees taking items off the shelf. I mean, and especially in the American League, it's not as big of a concern for me, no.
Yeah.
But when I consider what the Brewers are doing, and when you look at the standings, which I'm already doing, and everybody will be like, oh, relax. Yeah, okay, you can relax. But when we put all this together at the end of the season, these are the moments we talk about. We talk about the game that happened right before. Brewers are 1.5 games back.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's relaxed after seeing what the Brewers did to the Dodgers in that 3-game series. It was a powerful sweep. The third sweep that the Dodgers have suffered this season, if you're going back and looking at how well they've done, the Angels, the Astros, and the Brewers have all swept them. Now, the Dodgers, by the way, since we're talking about more worried about the National League, they've now lost 6 games in a row.
Yeah, but you know what their situation is. You know that they have injuries, and you know that they're going to move heaven and earth to try to get whatever talent they possibly need. Every person we've talked about in stalking, I feel like the Dodgers are also interested.
Well, we've talked about starting pitchers, and we know they need starting pitchers.
Right. So, yeah. And so when it's Seth Lugo, it's like, oh, well, the Dodgers are interested. The Mets are interested, for example. Or when it's any one of the number of the names that you can mention, the Dodgers are going to be in the mix there. And so, I think that's the difference, is you know that, A, they have a lot more established high-level talent, even when it's injured, than the rest of the major leagues.
You're saying, like, talent that's not going to be out for the rest of the season. They're coming back eventually.
Well, yes, and the base is higher. I mean, listen, what Jacob Mizrowski did to guys like Mookie Betts, that is putting yourself on notice to them. But when it comes to knowing that that's still Mookie Betts on the other side, you know what he brings to the table, for example.
Yeah, I
but
think
Mitch Keller, you don't know if the Dodgers, like, there's a good chance the Dodgers may want him. You just don't know. Like, they're always going to be in the mix for that discussion. I feel the same about the Yankees in most years. It's about what the Cubs want to do at this time.
If this was free agency, I would feel more aligned with what you're saying. But because this is in season and the Cubs do have prospects and it's not about who's writing the biggest check,
right.
I think the Cubs are, it's a fair play situation.
Yeah, but also I don't necessarily know that I want them to rip up the entire farm.
Oh, no.
You know, that's the other part of this.
But
they already gave up a lot to get Kyle Tucker.
The chip that everyone keeps talking about is the Owen Casey portion of the program, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do you need to get back in order to be good with moving Owen Casey? I guess that's what it ultimately is going to come down to.
That's a good question.
That's what it's ultimately going to come down to if we're talking about what other teams are willing to do to get the arms or the bat that they feel like they need to make a World Series push. What are you willing to give up, Chicago Cubs? And I think they're willing to give up Owen Casey for the right piece.
Does it help you, though, win this series against the Minnesota Twins today? No, unfortunately not. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today as you are listening to Raheemy and Harris on the Score talking about the Cubs. We do get you ready for Cubs baseball. That is coming up at 11:35 right here on the Score. We take a look at what happened yesterday. You know, Cade Horton goes 4 2/3 innings, gives up 6 hits, 4 runs. They're all earned. 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. he's still not the one who's drawing a lot of criticism from me. He got called up. He's a rookie. I'm not expecting him to be like a Skeens his rookie year, a Mizorowski as to what we're seeing now. I just need him to be his best self. So I know that's him still trying to put together a body of work. But unfortunately, when the Cubs batters aren't helping out as much as you'd like to see, you know, our friend of the show, Ian Happ, goes 0-for-4 out of the leadoff spot as a designated hitter. We've talked about his struggles. I think the past month is a good example, the past 2 weeks especially so. We talked to him about it on Tuesday. Those are the kind of things that will hurt you in a game like that. That's a 42, you know, that again is either, as we saw yesterday, before Porter Hodge entered the game, or the day before yesterday, before Porter Hodge entered the game, that was a slim margin. You were talking about two runs there at that time. And then, you know, when you're talking about this 4-2, those are the things that matter. You know, could a duck have been on the pond for Kyle Tucker or Seiya Suzuki in those situations? And I think we'd be talking about a different ball game.
Which of the key plays, if we're looking back at last night's game, was most concerning to you? Is it the Dansby Swanson allowing that runner to score and kind of having his not Tom Emanski moment? That's not what I saw in the defensive drills growing up. You're supposed to be able to see everything as you're receiving the ball.
Yeah, that was surprising because essentially people are describing it as either you saw Minnesota steal a run, which I don't necessarily know that that's what happened. I think they just took advantage of attention directed in another place. Yeah, runner on third scores there because they're concerned about what's going on between first and second base.
I think looking at it, I thought that they were just super aggressive, which was surprising because the Cubs are such a good defensive team. You usually see that against teams who are not good on defense.
Right.
And the Cubs don't fall under that category by all the metrics and by the eye test. But that was like a rare slip last night. So I felt like, oh, this is what we're doing? They really are kind of in a desperate mode, if you will. And the Cubs aren't in a desperate mode. And I think that's what we've seen play out the first two games of this series.
Anytime you give a team extra outs or extra opportunities, if they take advantage of them, they've made you look. They've taken one from you, and it's a matter of how you respond. And unfortunately, they didn't have enough offensive firepower. They've only scored three runs this entire series so far, and they hadn't had enough to answer. Let's listen also to what Craig Counsell had to say about his starter last night, Cade Horton.
It was okay. The first inning was, you know, the start of this 0-2 hit by pitch. And that kind of gets the inning going, and he had a chance to get out of it, but he left the pitch to Jeffers. Not a bad pitch, probably an executed pitch. He did a nice job with it. The pitch to Correa was just, you know, that's the one that he got too much of the plate of for sure, and cost us another one.
Carlos Correa will do that to you from time to time.
When he's out there healthy, he's a dangerous man in any kind of way you want to look at it. Defensively, offensively, there's a reason they were offering him all the money in San Francisco before they found out a bit about his kind of degenerative back, I guess.
Right, and then that, you know, how much of that is really an issue. But when you look at the numbers, like for example, Cubs go 6-for-31 in the first game, 4-for-31 yesterday. I understand that the starting pitcher responsibility here is part of it when it comes to Cade Horton, when it comes to Shota Imanaga, who I'm a little more critical of, you know, at this point, because I expect more, and I'm sorry, that's just how it is. But when it comes to the run support that you're trying to give this team, offense has got to be there.
You're not going to win games when you score one run. You're not going to win games when you score two runs. That's just bottom line. That's why, although I'm worried that Cade Horton's not going to be able to live up to the previous billing of a possible like number one starter. He's not in the class of some of these other young guns that we're seeing around the league,
which is unfortunate.
But if he can eventually fine tune his stuff and be a solid number two, I'm good with that. I mean, obviously you need guys to get outs. That's what Craig Counsell keeps telling me.
Well, also like when you're watching the game, you know, we're talking in the pre-show meeting about for example, what Mizorowski does or something like that, or we're talking about what we saw to Paul Skeens or as you mentioned, the young players. I am thinking to myself, man, life is a lot easier when you've got one of those. When you've got that guy, young starter, who can throw absolute heat on the mound.
I want to know that there's a plan going forward. And that's really what the issue is. And that's whether or not we're talking about Cade Horton and being able to pitch long past the All-Star break as a starter. That's who you're bringing in as far as when trade deadline kicks in, which is we've been told several times now, it's nothing's going to happen likely until after the MLB draft next week. But from an offensive standpoint, I just want to know that this team can find ways to score runs without the long ball. Because last week we saw the long ball on display. This week they have not hit a home run as far as the starters go.
And the other team has.
And the other team has. So it's like, where are you? How are you matching this? Because let me tell you, up next after this game, win or lose, sweep or just you lost 2 of 3. There's a team they're about to face that hits bombs.
And also, I think they're going to be paying a lot of attention to how your right fielder performs at their ballpark.
I think Kyle Tucker will be okay over there because...
That's the point. They want to see how he fits at that place.
It's an audition.
Exactly.
You see it as a walking audition?
Also, in the game yesterday, what was right fielder doing when it came to some of the routes on the balls and that were hit in his area? Did you guys notice that too? Like, there were times where I was asking myself, like, why are you so far away from this ball or X or Y?
That's about positioning before the pitch, though.
Mm-hmm. It is, but it also just makes me wonder sometimes about the full sprint and things like that.
I know we're up against it, but I just want to point out, we got a lot of people on the text line just seemingly concerned. 708, should we also be concerned the Cubs have lost 6 of their last 9 road games going into today and, of course, Yankee Stadium next? Yeah, that's cool, but like I'm not going to get overblown about what's happening going up against the All-Star break. I just refuse to do it. That's just me.
This series after what happened in June, you take notice. It's just a matter of how much you're taking. That's my issue with it. We're all building data here. You're building up a resume. Coming up next here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score. We did a lot when it came to the Bears survey that they sent a lot of ticket buyers, season ticket holders, etc., about the new stadium. You heard it mentioned in the open. Well, we got some more details about ticket prices at least thrown out to one of the receivers of said survey. So we'll get some numbers. We'll talk about it next right here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score.